Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. Welcome home. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And no offense, but you look like you had a great Thanksgiving. So that's good. That's good. We're glad you're here. Want you to feel at home. Just worship as you wish. Stand, sit, raise a hand, clap a hand. Do as God leads. Just let Jesus love on you this morning. I want to call your attention to your bulletin, which has our order of service in it and lyrics to our songs, but you'll also have those on the screen, and a connection card. And your connection card, the front of it is what I'd like to call your attention to right now, which is just a way for you to let us know you were here. We always like to connect with you, but if we don't get to do that personally, then later in the week, we get to know you were here and where you came from. So we hope you'll give us that info, and we'll collect it at the end of the service. So it's good to have you here this morning, and we're just going to come to worship the Lord and fellowship together. Let's pray this morning. Pastor is, I will share this with you, he is at the hospital with Bob this morning. So Bob never got strong enough to make the trip to Tampa. They were wanting him to come back to Tampa, and he's never been able to get there. So that's all I know, but Pastor felt like he needed to get by there as quickly as possible. So we'll remember Bob this morning and Michelle as we worship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a chance to just come together in your house and just to be in your presence and to feel you surround us with your love, mercy, and grace. So we thank you so much for counting us worthy of your presence today. And Father, we pray that Bob knows that same presence, that you have indeed filled his hospital room with your love and grace, that you bring comfort to he and Michelle. And we don't know circumstances, but we do know whose hand he's in. And so we trust you with his days, his health, and we trust you with his family. And we just pray that you will hold him close to you during this time. Bless all that give him all that he needs, and bless him with your presence in every moment and your comfort. Bless our time together as we come together to worship you, to hear your word. Pray for the children as they have their opportunity for Bible study in children's church as well. We just thank you for all that you've already done through Hope this morning, and we pray it continues in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's worship.
Look at the fireworks and all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, you know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? Is your faith everything I need?
Thank you for helping me out here. My name's Chrissy, and I'm helping lead today. And just a little quick story about my day. The next song's called Another in the Fire, and I literally had my car smoking this morning as I was driving to Inlet. And, you know, it's funny because I know when we're supposed to be serving God, the enemy likes to come at you a little more than normal, right? And this song, it was just funny because I was like, you got nothing. You got nothing. God's with me today. I'm gonna make it there. And I did. And we had people praying. And my husband's there right now with the car. And it'll be fine, you know. I didn't need the fire extinguisher, so that's good. But Jesus is our fire extinguisher, right? And he's always with us no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. So this one's called Another in the Fire.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever be reminded of how I've been set free, and cling to the cross that bears no burden, and another died for me. There is another in the fire. Oh, 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 there is another in the fire.
I'm a dead left with death beneath the water.
longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Either way, I won't bow to the things of this world. Now you know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever be reminded what power set me free? There is a grace that holds nobody. All the things unseen in this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the sea.
Thank you, Christy, so much for that worship. Be seated, please. It's good to see you this morning, and good to have you in the house. And we begin Advent today. We finished Genesis, and Christmas is in the wind. It's on the way, so we grab a hold because it's going to come quick. So we begin Advent today, and you guys probably know a great deal about Advent. It comes from a Greek word, adventus, which means coming or arrival. And I'm always wondering why preachers, and believe me, it's been my whole life as I've listened, and now I catch myself doing it. I have no idea why we tell you that this word comes from a Greek word. Does that really matter to you? Do you speak Greek? Do you know anything at all about the Greek language? I mean, I think we just want to sound smart. So Advent comes from the Greek word, Adventus. See, that just sounds smart, doesn't it? So then the pastor and I, we decide we're going to go a step further, okay? So, first of all, Proverbs 13:12 reminds us how important hope is. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. We'll talk about that more in a minute, but that's how important hope is. And the word deferred comes from the Greek word meshach, which I always figured that's where I live, in Meshach. But anyway, the word deferred, it means to push aside or delay. So there's this meaning of Advent is kind of has the idea of waiting, looking forward to something we still don't have. And hope is waiting for things to get better, isn't it? Hope, for the most part, is about holding on and believing in something that we haven't seen yet. And many times, folks will simply run out of hope. Earlier in my ministry, I did quite a few prison revivals from the outside. I went into the prison, but I always got to come out. Mm-hmm. So, but when I would be there for a weekend, I would talk to several of the inmates, and I can remember looking in the eyes of certain men who you could just tell had lost all hope. They knew they were never coming out. Their families had forsaken them. And this is just how they're going to live. Many of them subject to abuse inside the prison. And this emptiness was in their eyes. It is not a pretty thing for someone to run out of hope. It is not good to be overcome with hopelessness. And in our world today, I think there are still people who have given up on hope. Maybe it's the life they live. Maybe it's the life full of mistreatment or living without or abuse of some sort, and they have just given over to hopelessness. They've quit. And I think it's important for us as God's family to recognize that we have a message for those without hope, that they don't have to be without hope. That's the message. There is hope. And we, as God's followers, we have that message. We've got that truth. We can lift a heart. We can prop up a life that may have given over to hopelessness. Well, there's no reason for that. when we have the good news of Jesus Christ. We have hope. So today, we want to talk about three truths about hope, God's hope, that will never fail. These are three things that are absolutely true, and they'll never fail. Here's the first one. Number one, hope has a name. Hope has a name. So it's not hope universal. We're not hoping that just some days the stars will get in the right formation and our life will turn around. We're not hopeful that the universe will all of a sudden smile on us. It made for a great movie, but there's no force to be with you. If that's what you're counting on, we're in trouble. No, hope has a name. There is someone that is hope, and that is Jesus, of course. And in Matthew 1, the Bible tells us, Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, that's the name. That's where the hope comes from. And as believers and followers of Christ, we need to become extremely, I can't overemphasize this enough, we have to become extremely comfortable with the name Jesus. A lot of people get nervous about Jesus. We'll use the Lord, we'll speak of God, some will even talk about the big man upstairs. Why do they do that? Because they're not comfortable. The name Jesus makes people nervous. That's why I think one of the greatest witnessing tools we have is to get the name Jesus in the conversation. Because there's power in that name. And in that name is all our hope. There's no other hope but the name of Jesus. We can't break our own sin. We can't cleanse ourselves from our sin. We have no escape. Our hope is in Jesus. And let's look at that. The three little bullet points under number one. Jesus is our hope. It's personal. He's ours. I get to hold Jesus close to me. In 1 Timothy, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, our hope. Our hope. He came for us. That's what the birth of Christ is about. He leaves his throne in heaven and comes to us. He comes to us. The second bullet is Jesus is our blessed hope. Titus says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, it's a God-given hope. It's a blessed hope, God-given. We didn't invent this. We didn't come up with it. The Bible says these aren't cleverly fashioned fables. No. Jesus is God's gift. God the Father gives us God the Son. Now, I've been educated beyond educated. I got stuff behind my name I can't even spell. And I've been to two county fairs. And I still haven't figured this out. How God the Father becomes God the Son. And they each stay God the Father, God the Son. And then there's the Holy Spirit. Okay, now you're just messing with me. Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If you figure that out, if you can explain that, let's have coffee. That's how bad I want to know, because I don't drink coffee. But there's no way to explain it. It's a faith thing. I believe God the Father in heaven. I believe God the Son, Jesus, whose birth we celebrate. And I am dwelt by God the Spirit. They're all one. They're all separate. They all have their ministry. They all mean something to me. That's our blessed hope. It's a God-given thing. And God sent it to us in Bethlehem. And third, it's Jesus is our living hope. What a promise that is. Jesus wasn't some smart guy who came and during his time on earth wrote a couple of nice little books, did seminars, and then died. No, the world's libraries are full of those guys. No, Jesus came as that baby, and he lived a life like we'd live. In fact, the Bible says he was tempted in the same way we are. He came to be just like us. He walked among us, and he, at the end, finally gave his life for us, went to the cross to die for our sin. But we well know he resurrected. Death didn't win. Death didn't conquer Jesus. Jesus conquered death. He's a living hope. I don't have to worry about my time's going to be over. Some of you hoping it will be soon, but I don't have to worry about not living. I don't have living hope. I've only got a certain amount of time and then hope's over. No, no, no. It's a living hope. We just keep it. I have an eternal hope, a living hope in Jesus. Now, beloved, this is where the church steps in, because there is no reason for anyone that you and I know, no reason for them to live without hope, because we have that hope in us, and he's living for them. Look at Philippians chapter 2. God gave Jesus the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hope has a name. Hope, number two, has perfect timing. Perfect timing. Now, I want this to be a word of hope for you. You may be here today, and you're faced with something that you're waiting on hope. You're doing the best you can to trust God in this circumstance, in that broken relationship, in this dilemma you find yourself in, whatever it is, whatever difficulty you may be in, you're hoping against hope that God is going to deliver. But he's not coming fast enough, is he? Never has for me. It may surprise you, but I'm kind of jittery. I like things now. God doesn't always give those things now, does he? There have been times in my life when I thought he was never coming through. But I can tell you from personal experience, number two is absolutely the truth. The old preacher once said, God's never late, but he's never early. His timing is perfect. He delivers when it's time to deliver. And from his vantage point, he knows the perfect time way more than we do. We think we know. We think we want it right now. Or we think we know when we want it. We want to put God on a deadline. Because if God doesn't come through by then, I'm going to have to do what my sister told me to do. And I don't want to do what my sister told me to do. I don't even know your sister, and I wouldn't do what your sister tells you to do. I'd wait. I'd wait for God to come through. I'd wait for his perfect timing. And hope has perfect timing. Point A, Jesus would be born. Now that's, for us, as we enter Advent, well, yeah, that's what Christmas is all about. But it's a big deal. God didn't just plant Jesus somewhere as a full-grown man. He didn't all of a sudden just show up on Earth's horizon. He didn't just come in the age of internet so he could be on YouTube. Everybody wants to be on YouTube. No, he was born. He was born because that's how humans get here. And it's a big deal that Jesus was human. That's a big deal. How else was he going to be like us? How else was he going to come to understand us? How else was he going to experience everything we experience? The Bible tells us he was tempted in every way like we were. How else could I go to him in prayer and know that he knows exactly what I'm talking about? Because he's been there. He walked this life like me. So Jesus was born of a woman. He had a mom. He had a mom who loved him, cared for him, nurtured him. It's what moms do. So he's born of a woman, meaning an earthly birth. He was all man. And that, again, is a big deal because we have to know he knew our flesh. He was our flesh. In fact, he was born of a woman, predicted in Genesis 3:15, where God was talking to the snake in the garden, and he says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He'll bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And then in Galatians 4, it's fulfilled. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. You see, Jesus knew what it meant to be tempted by sin. He knew what it meant to feel hunger, lonely. He knew what it meant to feel pain as folks verbally abused him, as he was physically torture. Jesus knew everything there was about humanity because he was born of a woman. He was all flesh. But then also of a virgin. Why is that important? Because then he was all God. God placed the seed in Mary. And so he carried with him the nature of his Father. So again, back to the mystery. God the Father becomes God the Son. So we have a Savior who is all man and all God. Now that's the second thing we can go have coffee about, as soon as you can explain that to me. Because I don't get it. But I sure am glad it's true. Because this Jesus was born of a woman and a virgin. And, oh, the virgin part, let's not forget this, where it was prophesied, Isaiah verse 7, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then it was fulfilled. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us, in Matthew chapter 1. So it's prophesied, and then it's fulfilled. In fact, did you know that there are Bible scholars who estimate there are some 300 or more prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament? They're prophecies fulfilled in the New Testament. You find me a prophecy in the Old, and I'll show you a place where it was fulfilled in the New. What are the odds that we could have that many prophecies filled by one man? It's a God thing. And where he was born was prophesied. Micah chapter 5, but you, Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth to me, for me, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. And then it's fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in, Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Prophesied, fulfilled. You see, hope had perfect timing. Now, let's talk about that timing for a minute. Galatians 4:4 says, when the right time came, God sent his son. Says all we need to know, right? When the right time came. Whose right time? God's right time. Yeah. When the right time came, when God's right time came, he sent his son. You realize that between the Old Testament and the New, Malachi to Matthew, we call that, I think it's even in your note. Yeah, point B. We call that the intertestamental period. That's 400 years where God is silent. The world doesn't hear from God for 400 years. Now, there are days when I feel like I know what 400 feels like, but I really don't know what it's, I can't fathom 400 years in real life. And so between this Old and New Testament, between the end of Jewish law and the beginning of the lifetime of grace, in between there's 400 years. So why would all of a sudden the birth of Jesus be at the perfect time? What is happening? Well, funny you should ask. I want to share with you a couple of things that were happening during that time on the world stage. First of all, the Socratic method became a new way of learning. That is, a teaching different from what always had been before. What always was before was a teacher dispensing facts and the student taking them in. That was the extent of learning. I'm going to tell you, you're going to believe me. Then comes Socrates and his school of disciples. And he began to have students that he discussed things with, and they discovered truth. He didn't just spew it out. He asked questions to make them think. And all of a sudden, this Socratic method was the way to go. Folks realized they enjoyed thinking for themselves. They liked to have discussion. They liked to hear what other people were thinking. And so this became a very popular method of learning. Why is that so important? How did Jesus teach? Oh, yeah. Disciples. Oh, yeah. Sermons on the Mount. Oh, yeah. He encouraged people to relate to what he was saying, to discover Christ's truth. Second, the Old Testament was translated into our favorite new language, Greek, because you've learned so much about that this morning. Greek, the Old Testament, of course, was Hebrew. The Jews could read it. Nobody else could read it. But then translated into Greek, which was quickly becoming the language of the world, and now others could read it. And at the same time, in this 400-year period, Alexander the Great conquered the world. Now, when you conquer the world, they call you the Great. That's just a little side note. I gave up on conquering the world some time ago. But Alexander got it done. Now, these three things happening set the stage for letter C. For the first time in history, one, people were encouraged to ask questions. It was good to discuss. It was good to learn truths from several sources. Two, everyone had access to the Bible in a language they understood. They all of a sudden could read the scrolls. They began to discuss what they were reading. And during this period of time, the Jews were dispersed throughout the world because Rome wouldn't let them come back to Jerusalem. And so they had to spread out all over the world. And that allowed for, number three, the good news could spread in a common language through the Jewish people to the entire known world. You see, Rome by then had begun to build an infrastructure. There was all of a sudden roads and bridges, and there was a way to transport commerce. There was a way to carry the message as travel became more and more prevalent. So did this seem like the perfect time? Well, I don't know. You tell me. Seems like it worked pretty well. That when the birth of Jesus came, it took a star to hang in the sky, and the word was out. God didn't need an internet. He just needed a star in the sky. And wise men. And shepherds. And Nazareth. And tales just spread throughout. Stories spreading all over. So hope has a perfect timing. If you're waiting this morning, if you're hanging on for God to deliver, I want to encourage you to keep waiting, keep depending upon God, keep counting on the hope that you have, because God's timing is perfect. May seem slow, may be wearing you out. You may think God has forgotten, but I promise you, His timing is perfect. He'll be right dead on with His deliverance. That brings us to the number three point. Remember, we started three truths about God's hope that never fails. Hope has a name, hope has perfect timing, and hope is coming again. Isn't that awesome? Hope doesn't end. We've already talked about it. It's a living hope. Listen to what 1 Thessalonians, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Hope is coming again. God will come to receive us who are still here, when one day that blue sky that looks so beautiful out there on the beach this morning, it was gorgeous. But one day that blue sky will split. Will split. And there'll be a call, there'll be an archangel, there'll be trumpets. And it will be time to go. We just talked last week about the glorious homecoming. Well, there's nothing like that homecoming when God comes to gather us home. How awesome that is. So hope's coming back. And we can count on it again. So I repeat, there is no reason for anyone we know to not have hope. Share it. Look at our memory verse, Proverbs 13:12. Let's read it together. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. You know the tree of life. It restores joy. It restores peace. It gives people life where there was death. And so where hope is deferred, where it's put off, the heart is sick. That's why if there are folks around us suffering from hopelessness, we need to get them the word. There is hope. Why? Because it's the tree of life. It will bring them back to a joy and a life worth living. So we've got a message, church. We've got a mission and a message. We've got to carry the word to a world that needs to hear it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your truth. And we pray that we might take the call to share this gospel, that we might take it seriously, and we might not hesitate to give people hope around us. We thank you for the hope that indwells our lives, and we pray that we might have the courage to share the good news of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And let us continue to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This morning, we're going to receive our morning offering. We're going to give you an opportunity to bring the envelope that's in your bulletin here to the offering plates in just a moment. Also, I remind you that on the back of your connection card, you can communicate with the staff. You'd like to let us know about a commitment you're making today, or prayer requests you have, or if you'd like to connect with one of our ministries or activities. All of that is available to you on the back of the connection card. So in a moment, we're going to invite you to bring your card and your envelope and place it in these offering plates. First, let me remind you that we do have some activity coming up this week. Tuesday, big day. We could use all the help we can get. We're going to decorate the church for Christmas. So we could use lots of help. We're going to get started at 10:30. Lunch is provided. That's what sold me. So come on and help us decorate and stay for lunch. That'll be Tuesday at 10:30. Also then, on Saturday, men, we're going to have our Men of Iron breakfast, and that's at 9 o'clock, and you certainly are welcome to come and join us for that. And then on Sunday, all the families are invited to the birthday party for Jesus. And so that will have activities for the kiddos as well as breakfast. So we invite you to be a part of that. And then ladies, on the 9th, your Advent dinner. So be sure to RSVP for that as well. So glad you're here with us today. We're going to continue our worship as we receive our offering.
We've heard thousands of stories of waiting, they are alive, but I've heard ten a whisper of loving, day to night, and you tell me they.
Again, we're so glad you've come to worship with us this morning, and we're going to stand together. Let's receive our blessing, and we will be dismissed then. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace and grace. May you go in his power and his presence. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Joy to the world, the Lord. Let earth receive again. Let every heart prepare room. Heaven and nature singing, he is a new beginning. Can you hear? Hope is here. Joy.
Earth and God is here. Hope is here.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you guys for worshiping with me today. Go in peace and spread that joy all week long. Till next time. Amen.